الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء وهو القوي العزيز سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Today inshallah we'll do this one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is Al-Latif. Al-Latif has two meanings. Al-Latif refers to that being who knows the subtle nature of different things, who knows the subtle aspects of things which are beneficial, as well as the hidden aspects. And the way that being treats others is with a lot of benevolence, with a lot of kindness. So for the perfect meaning of this word Al-Latif, it would mean that it's a type of a benevolence where a person might be gentle in their action, and in terms of their ilm, they know things with their subtle details. They have a delicacy of perception. Any kamal in ilm and kamal in amal as well. The kamal in ilm is that a person understands the subtle, delicate, hidden nature of different things. And kamal in amal, that in terms of treating others, there's a lot of kindness and a lot of benevolence. So when these two sifat are joined, kamal in ilm and kamal in amal, benevolence and kindness in amal, so such a being is referred to as Latif. And the perfection of this name lies in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolute perfection in his knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, the subtle, delicate, hidden, intrinsic nature of everything, the hidden aspects of everything, the hidden maslahat of everything, of every situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. And in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats his servants, treats his makhluk, there is benevolence. There is extreme benevolence, extreme kindness, extreme mercy, extreme gentleness. So today we'll be looking at this one aspect of Al-Latif, that how benevolent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with his servants. How much kindness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers upon his servants. How much lutf. We have this word in Urdu, lutf o karam. How much lutf, how much karam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does on his servants. So this word Al-Latif, we have another word which is Lutf. Lutf means pleasure, subtle pleasure, delicate pleasure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides human beings with these pleasures in this dunya as well as pleasures in akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us worldly pleasures. But much more than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept pleasures in our deen as well. So for example, when a person recites Quran, there is a joy in Quran. There is a pleasure. There is a lutf that a person gets by reciting Quran. There is so much joy that Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, he said that if a person's heart is pure, one gets so much pleasure in reciting the Quran that one will never tire from reading Quran. There's a lazzat, a pleasure, a lutf in Quran. Similarly, in Salah, there is so much lutf that our akabreen, the early Salaf Salihin, they would pray long rakat. Sayyidina Fatima Tuzahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she, in one summer night, she made niyat of praying 2 rakah, and she spent the entire night praying Salah. And then when it was time for Fajr, she completed her Salah, and she made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, how short is your night that can't even contain 2 rakat of Fatima. The reason is because they would get this lutf in their Salah, this pleasure. One person was told that in Jannah there is no Salah, yani there is no formal Salah in Jannah. That person started crying. He asked him, why are you crying? He said that if there is no Salah in Jannah, then what's the lutf of Jannah? What's the maza of Jannah? And I derive my pleasure from Salah. If there is no Salah, then what will happen in Jannah? And these people used to derive lutf and pleasure from their ibadat. One person, he would do a very long sajda. Someone asked him that, Hazrat, you do such a long sajda, what's the reason? He said that when I do sajda, I feel like experience as if I've placed my head, my forehead, at the feet of my beloved. And I don't want to raise my head up again. And there was joy in there was lutf in their ibadat. Once Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sleeping with Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the Prophet said to her that, Aisha, leave me so that I can go and perform my salah. And then the Prophet made wudu and made niyat for tahajjud. And the Prophet prayed a very long salah, then a very long ruku, then a very long sajda. And throughout the salah, Nabi salatu wasalam was crying. This is the lutf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in salah. Similarly, there is also lutf in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person does zikr of Allah, that person is in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sohbat of Allah. Ana jalisun ma'a man zakarani. Allah says, I am the companion of that person when he does zikr of me. And not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the hamjalis, the companion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that person's zikr. Allah remembers that person. And it remembers him in an assembly of angels, the malaika. And if a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers that person in his own, in within himself. Allahu Akbar. So there is so much maza in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the 5 senses. Everyone in the world, Muslim, non-Muslim, they agree that human beings have these 5 senses. Your sight, hearing, smell, touch, taste. But these senses, they cannot experience the lutf, the experience of this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of these sensory perceptions can experience the lutf of the muhabbat of Allah, the lutf of the ma'rifat of Allah, the lutf of the qurb, the closeness of Allah. Like Allah says in Quran, yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu, that Allah loves them and they love Allah. So how can you experience this lutf that Allah loves us? When Allah says in Quran that Allahu waliyyul ladina amanu, Allah is the friend of the believers. How can you experience that friendship, the lutf, the maza of that friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you experience the yuhibbuhum, that Allah loves us? And the answer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a 6th sense, which is the spiritual heart of a mu'min, called the qalb. The qalb of the believer, the heart of the believer. Qalb, this is a term in the Quran for the spiritual heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the ruh of every insan. This qalb is near our physical heart, but it's not the pumping heart, that's physical. It's in that location, in that cavity. It's as part of a ruh. And this qalb is the seat of the lutf of muhabbat, Allah's muhabbat. This qalb is the seat of the ma'rifat of Allah. It's the seat of the muhabbat of Allah. It is the qalb that understands and feels this love for Allah, experiences this pleasure and lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's company. Just like in this world, if someone has these five senses, but one of them is impaired. Like, for example, if those of you have seen me, my sight, right? I have an impaired vision. I have to wear glasses. If I do not have these glasses, corrective mechanism, so if I tried looking at something as beautiful as a flower, I won't be able to look. I won't be able to focus. If there's a person whose vision is impaired, they won't be able to see the beauty of that flower. But it doesn't mean that the flower is not beautiful. The flower's beauty is 100% there. It's absolutely beautiful, pleasurable, majestic, splendid in its beauty. But just because I'm impaired, my vision is impaired, I won't be able to see the beauty. Exactly in the same way, if a person's sixth sense, their qalb, you can call it the basirat, the insight, the marifat, whatever term you want to use for it. If this heart is impaired, if this heart is weakened, if this heart is crippled, then how does it become crippled? Due to sins. It becomes crippled and weakened due to their sins, due to ghaflat, due to distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they will not be able to see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true beloved. In a hadith, the Prophet said that when a person sins, black spot comes on their heart. When there's a blackness that comes on this heart, then the heart will not be able to see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their true beloved, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our mahbub-e haqiqi. They will not be able to see the beauty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll not be able to feel that lutf of the companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll not be able to feel the lutf of the muhabbat of being the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not be able to fully appreciate the beauty of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not be able to fully see the lutf, the mazah, the beauty in the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's exactly what Allah says in Quran also, that لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, that the sunnah, the entire sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is beautiful. It's beautiful. You have this model of beauty. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also continues that who is going to view that to be pleasurable, to be beautiful? Who's going to adorn himself, beautify himself with that sunnah? Who? That person, liman kana yarju Allah, that person who yearns for Allah, وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ, and who yearns for the day of the Akhirah, meeting with Allah, yearns to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Akhirah, and وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. Now that person who makes a zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, now they have a vision. Now they can see the beauty of the sunnah with their heart. You can't see this beauty with your akal. Deen, the lazzat of deen, cannot completely be understood by akal. We need the heart. Our spiritual heart will testify, will submit to the beauty. Will submit to the beauty in the sunnah. Will submit to the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will submit to the beauty of the deen of Islam. And just like in this world, the five senses that we have, every one of those five senses has its own lazzat and lutf, has its own maza, pleasure. Like it brings its own pleasure. Like I said, that eyes, they bring their own lutf. You watch, look at something beautiful, beautiful flower. People will take pleasure, lutf, by listening to the Quran-e Kareem, good Qari, good Kirat, or a good Kalam. People take pleasure in this world by tasting tasty food. People take good pleasure, lutf, by touching something as smooth as a silk. And there is another lutf and lazzat that is experienced by this qalb, the spiritual heart that we have. And this is the lutf and the lazzat of the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what the Prophet referred to as halawati iman, lutf of iman, maza of iman, the sweetness of iman. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah has made a whole bab in his hadith book, in Sahih Bukhari, the chapter pertaining to the sweetness of iman, the lazzat, the lutf of iman. And this lazzat, lutf, halawat, sweetness of iman, this is not going to be experienced by our eyes, by your hearing, or your smell, or your touch, or your taste. This is that halawat and lazzat and lutf that is experienced by the qalb of a mu'min, by the qalb of a mu'min, the heart of a believer. And then when you experience this, then it leads to falah. It leads to this bliss, a blissful heart. It leads to surur, this real happiness, real contentment, real joy. That is what you call itminan, sukoon, this real inner peace and serenity and tranquility. And this is where we have fallen. Because we don't have the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't have the muhabbat of Allah. And you know, our in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we still remain yuhibbuhum. Allah still loves us. We still remain those believers whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His love. We can make ourselves those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. You know, one of our teachers in the madrasa used to explain this with a story that, you know, in Pakistan, you take different pleasures of your mithai. And you have these different names for mithai as well. Laddu, gulab jamun, barfi, etc. So our teacher used to say that we know the names of these mithai, these sweets, but we don't know the pleasure, the lazzat, the lutf of these mithai. In the same way, it's all about deen as well. The same thing applies to deen. That we know these terms like salah and tahajjud and zikr and tilawat and Allah's muhabbat and Allah's qurb, closeness, and sabr and shukr and reliance on Allah. We know all these terms and terminologies. Taqwa. But we don't know the lutf of these terms. We don't know the pleasure that is there inside these terms. We don't know the haqiqat. We haven't experienced the haqiqat, the halawat, the lazzat of deen. And experiencing the sweetness of deen, this is called marifat. This is about knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, mashallah, we have a lot of malumat, right, about, we have a lot of ilm, right, about deen. But this ilm is one thing, and then to do amal on that ilm, and to do amal with ikhlas. For a person to be able to experience that lutf, we need all three. Ilm, amal, and ikhlas. Acha, another thing, many people may have this perception that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't speak about this lutf in the Quran. So today I actually want to share with you that no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this lutf, about this pleasure. And this is mentioned in the Quran. In several places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and describes Jannat and the lutf of Jannat, the pleasures in Jannat. and the wonderful gardens and the wonderful pastures and wonderful things that are promised to the people of Jannat, the Ahle Jannat, the Mu'mineen. So this lutf and lazzat begins immediately on Yawmul Qiyamah. And that is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ruyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the speech of Allah and the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to show to you, right, ruyat bari ta'ala from the Quran, so that we understand our deen, right? Understand our deen, that this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. So when a person goes inside their grave, our journey to the Akhirah begins with this, with the Qabr. And then it begins with the Qabr, and then begins with Yawmul Qiyamah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran the state of people, state of some mu'mineen, that wujuhun yawma izin nazira. So there will be some days, some faces, that day they will be radiant. Right, radiant. Wujuhun yawma izin nazira. Ila rabbiha nazira. And they will be looking towards their Lord, towards their Rabb. They'll be gazing at their Rabb. The first gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to the Ahle Jannat is ila rabbiha nazira. They'll be looking, they'll be gazing at their Lord. They'll be looking at their Rabb. This is the first instant of Yawmul Qiyamah. This is what is given to the mu'mineen, the Ahli Jannat. So subhanAllah, imagine the pleasure. Imagine the pleasure of looking at the blessed face, the noble face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something the Prophet used to make dua for. Allahumma inni as'aluka shawkan ila liqa'ik. That, oh Allah, I ask you that you increase me in my passion, my shock for meeting you, for doing mulaqat with you. And the lazzat, the lutf, the joy of looking at you, looking at your wajhikal kareem, your noble countenance. So on that day, there will be some faces that will be beaming in brightness and beauty. And they'll be looking towards their Lord. This is the purpose of our creation. That we can also somehow make ourselves such today that our names can be written down in those people. That our faces are also on that day. They will be revived as fresh and alert and bright and beautiful and beaming. And we'll be looking towards our Lord, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll be gazing. This is the ibtida. This is how they'll be brought back to life. Their first moment of resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them this lutf of the ru'yat of Allah. And this is what me and you have been made for. This maza. This is why me and you exist. This is why me and you were created, to get this lutf, to get this lazzat, to understand this hakikat, to understand this marifat. That's why humanity has been given. This is the destination for humanity. Subhanallah, what a beautiful, what a noble destination. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in that same verse, la yahzunuhum al-faza'ul akbar. That how did they begin with that gazing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That all of Yawmul Qiyamah will not be able to bring them to any huzn. La yahzunuhum. La yahzunuhum, no huzn. This entire Yawmul Qiyamah, which you read about in other verses of the Quran, Yawmul Deen, Yawmul Taghabun, the day of reckoning, the day of adl, the day of justice, the day of accountability, strong, intense words. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here that calamitous moment, this big moment, right, of Yawmul Qiyamah and the events of Yawm al-Qiyamah will not be able to bring these people any huzn, because this will be a day of a Yawm al-Mulaqat for them, a day of meeting their beloved. Means that all of those ahadith that mention the torment and the trial and the tribulation and the difficulty of the days of Qiyamah, for these people, they will begin their day with the vision of Allah, with the ru'yat of Allah. La yahzunuhumul faza'ul akbar. That great calamity, that great difficulty, that great tribulation, which is the rest of that whole process on Qiyamah, will not bring them any huzn, any sorrow whatsoever. Such people, Allahu Akbar. Why? Because once you get that didar of Allah Ta'ala, lazzat al-nazri ila wajhik al-kareem, the lazzat of that nazar, the lutf of that vision of looking at the noble countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once you get that, then it does not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam and rahmah that after that didar, a person will be put in some imtihan, some ibtila, some test or trial. It cannot be possible for a mu'min that after that didar, that vision of Allah, that any huzn can overcome them. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran also says that Allah inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. That indeed they are the people who become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no fear upon them, and there is no worry, no huzn, no anxiety that comes to them in this world or the next, in the grave or on the day of Qiyamah. Mazay mein. Lazzat and lutf. Dunya and Akhirah. Then the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that the second gift, right, that the people of Jannat, the second gift for the Ahl-e Jannat, the people of Jannat, is that these people of Jannat will then, when they enter into Jannah, they will enter the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And kullu yawmin marratain. Each and every day, they will enter the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala twice. Wa yakra'u alayhimul Quran. This is the kalam. Can you imagine the lutf of that moment? That al-mutakallim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, will do kirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will do kirat. Twice a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recite to them the Quran. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And over there, it was said some people who will be deprived, Allah is saying, La yukallimuhumullahu. That's the other category of individuals, that Allah will not do kalam with them, Allah will not address them. And here the Ahl-e Jannat, they will get to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reciting the Quran. In this world, if we hear a beautiful Qari who's reciting the Quran, mazat hai, lutf, lazzat, the hair at the back of your neck rises, you feel that warm, fuzzy, tingly feelings, right? Imagine the type of lutf and lazzat and maza it will be when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will recite the Quran to the people of Jannah. And even further than this, this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you really want to understand the Akhirat and what we have been created for, these are the ayat of the Quran. Allah says in Quran that إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَالنَّحَرِ. That as for the muttaqeen, the righteous, the pious, they will be in the midst of gardens and rivers. The promise of multiple gardens and multiple streams for the people of Jannat. And the people of Taqwa will have multiple Jannats. In another ayat, Allah Ta'ala mentions two Jannats, two gardens. Sometimes it's used for singular, sometimes plural, sometimes dual, right? There are multiple Jannat. One Nahar, multiple rivers, right? Multiple gardens and multiple rivers. And where will they be, right? Where exactly will they be? in Quran Allah mentions fi maq'adi sidqin 'inda malikin muqtadir. They will be sitting in this maqam and maq'ad of sidq, near, they'll be next, near and next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malikin, it's the mubalagha form of malik, the master, sovereign, right? The ultimate omnipotent who has the power over everything. So they will be in an assembly of truth, inda malikin muqtadir, in the presence of malik, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the maqam where they will be stationed, where they will be sitting. And over there, in hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned Al-Jabbar. Here in Quran, Allah mentions, in the Malikin Muqtadir. That notwithstanding the Shan, the Azmat, the Jalal, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Jabbar, that He is Malik and Muqtadir. These are strong words, right? Malik, Muqtadir, Qudrat, omnipotent. Even then, the mu'mineen will be in the malikin muqtadir. They will be given a place to sit next to. Inda means proximity, qurb. So to get the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is jannat. That is what jannat is. And that is what me and you have been created for. That is why we exist. And that should be the concept behind every single breath that we take, every single thing we say, every thought that we think. That Malikul Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying that for the muttaqeen in Jannat, they are going to be keeping company with Him, with Allah Ta'ala. In the Malikin Muqtadir. And kitni azim ye ayat. And how kareem is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How latif is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the lutf of His own company to us on that day. The lutf of Allah's own company in Jannat. So we should also make some commitment. Kuch irada, some intention, some himmat, some effort. We should also try to make ourselves strong and powerful mu'min to get this ni'mat. The Prophet ﷺ said that mu'min kaviyun. A kavi mu'min is better than a weak mu'min. Yani a strong, true, passionate, ardent believer is better than the weak and the feeble and the cold-hearted believer. Ye rang hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, this is a color of deen. It's the lutf of deen, a dye, an andaz, that we are supposed to drown ourselves in. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Right? That enter into this Islam completely, passionately, ardently, wholeheartedly, completely. That we drown ourselves in this deen. That is marifat. That's real lutf. That is real itminan. That is muhabbat for Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, the ultimate aspect of Akhirah, the ultimate lutf of Akhirat, the greatest bliss of Akhirah, wa ridwanum minallahi akbar. That the greatest bliss is the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rada of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. The ultimate surur is that Allah's rada, Allah will be razi. You will get the pleasure of Allah. That is the supreme felicity. That what is the thing that is going to give the most surur and most lutf and most falah and happiness and bliss to the heart, right? What is the thing that is going to give the most lazzat to the heart? What is going to give the most halawat to the heart? The most sweetness to the heart? The most lutf to the heart? The most itminan and sukoon and tranquility to the heart? More than anything of the five senses that the Jannat has to offer, right? Even more than the ru'yat of Allah. Even more than being addressed and listening to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than that is ridwan. Ridwanum minallahi akbar. That Allah ta'ala is pleased with us. One thing is that we are pleased with Allah when Allah is pleased with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existing in a state that Allah, He is pleased with us. This is Akbar. This is the greatest lutf and blessing of Jannat. In other words, to live eternally as the object of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such a beloved that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Allah ta'ala is pleased with the capital P. Allah is pleased with them. This is the greatest lutf and the greatest blessing. And we get that in the Akhirah by making ourselves pleasing to Him in this world. We get that eternal, endless pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making ourselves pleasing to Him in this world. That is why the deen is sent to us. This is the deen of Islam. This is why the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were sent. That is why Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent to us. That is why the Quran al-Kareem was sent, to teach us, to mold us, how to become pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the Sahaba ikram, who were the greatest of the mu'mineen, the greatest of the Siddiqeen and the Salihin and the Muttaqeen and the Awliya, they got this greatest blessing of Jannah, the Ridwan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They got that in this dunya. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Look at the shan, the maqam of the Sahaba. Allah says in Quran that they got this blessing in this world. Radiyallahu anhum waradu an. Allah is razi, pleased with them, and they are razi with Him. And again here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts His pleasure first. Like yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu, that Allah loves them. First Allah, then they love Allah. Here also the same sequence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them in this world. And same word that Allah ta'ala is using for the ultimate pleasure of Jannat, Ridwan, for the people of Jannah, Ahle Jannah. But in this world that has already been given to the Sahaba, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ye ek sauda hai. Abhi Urdu mein, it's easier to sort of convey this in Urdu. Ye ek ishq ka sauda hai. This is a bargain that a person has to do of love. Allah ta'ala ke saad ishq ka sauda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that we should accept this bargain. We commit ourselves for this. Allah is asking, is there anyone who will accept this pleasure, who will accept this, who will accept this muhabbat? We should hand ourselves over to such a beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah, you love us so much. Allah, you are giving us all of these things. You want to make us your mahbub. Allah, I am all up for you. Allah, take me. Allah, take me. Allah, I'm presenting myself to you. Allah, I want to become your mahbub. I want to become your ashik. I want to become your lover, your beloved. I want to become your dearest, your darling. I want to become for you. I want to live for you. Allah, main aapko chahna chahta hun. I want to make you my chahat, my desire, my longing, my yearning. That is who I am. This is the deen of Islam. This is Quran. And in this lies all the lutf of this dunya and all the lutf of akhirat. And that's what the Sahaba Ikram, they were an example for us. They were so pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very famous hadith. There's a Sahabi by the name of Sayyidina Ubay bin Qab radiallahu ta'ala an. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called him once and asked him to recite Surah Bayyinah. And he asked him in such a way that Sayyidina Ubay bin Qab radiallahu ta'ala, he also knew that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is a Nabi, right? And he could, unki thoda sa rang chada hua tha. He could understand the way the Prophet ﷺ has asked, there is something deeper here, right? He understood there's something different. Why is the Prophet ﷺ asking me to recite Surah Bayyinah? So I'm saying all of this because the text of the hadith doesn't mention this to you, right? But when he asked the Prophet the question, this was not the question that can come to somebody's akal. The question he's going to ask the Prophet. This question that he's about to ask the Prophet, this is beyond our akal. But he understood something about the way the Prophet asked him to recite Surah Bayyinah. So he asked this question to the Prophet. That question was, Allahu sammani? Ki Allah ta'ala ne mera naam liye? Ki Allah ta'ala ne mera naam leke aapse kaha hai ki inko kahein ki Surah Bayyinah sunaye. That did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take my name and ask you that ask Ubay to recite Surah Bayyinah? Was my name taken by Allah? This is a question which akal cannot think about. They saw something. You cannot capture this in hadith. It goes way beyond the text. But what is beyond the text is that there is an ishara in the text. So Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala, and he saw the way the Prophet was asking and the intensity with which he was looking at him. And this was not a normal request. This was a request that is coming from him as his nabuwat. This is actually a request that is coming from him from a different. This is, I see the same signs on him when he is asking me this as I see upon him when he receives that wahi, when the Prophet ﷺ receives revelation. It seems that this revelation has come to the Prophet ﷺ that he is asking me. And that's why he asked, Allahu sammani, did Allah take my name? And Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ responded in this hadith, Na'am, Allahu sammak, that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took your name. Aise log bhi hote hain. That is what it means to become pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beautiful were the Sahaba, how ajeeb were the Sahaba, how beloved were the Sahaba, that Allah ta'ala khud unka naam lekar kehte the ki Quran sunaye. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take their names and ask them to recite the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we can also get to listen to Surah Bayyinah being recited by Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala an. Like what type of individuals, beautiful people they were. And obviously we can continue the story. And then obviously Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala an, he would have recited Surah Bayyinah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have listened to Surah Bayyinah. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would have also listened to that Bayyinah. Allah would be listening in the Arsh, and the Prophet would be listening on the Farsh. This is insan. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me and you, to give this maqam. This is ashraful makhlukat. These are the people who really were yuhibbunahu. They are the people who were really razi, radiya anhu, waradu an. They were people who were really razi with Allah, beloveds of Allah, lovers of Allah. This is our deen. And this is that lutf for which we have been created. And, you know, in this world, we are fighting this battle between this lutf in our deen and the lutf of the dunya. This battle between muhabbat of Allah and muhabbat of ghairullah. Ishq of Allah and the fisk and fujur of sins. Fisk means to sin openly, to sin remorselessly, to sin unrepentantly, sin unfeelingly. And ishq of Allah means to love unconditionally, to love wholly, to love absolutely, to become people of sami'na wa atana. We just listen and we obey. We hear, and as soon as we listen to the Quran, the sunnah, there is no gap between sami'na atana. Listen and immediately we obey. So these were people of sami'na wa atana. But this is what dunya has done to us. That dunya is pulling us away from this lutf. Dunya is snaring, has ensnared us, deceived us. It is making us love it. So we're made to fall in love with the dunya. Right? Allah says in Quran that, don't you see that this dunya, the bure amal, the bad things that we do, those sins are beautified for us. We wanted to enter this path of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the dunya has ensnared us by making us love it. These are the snares of the dunya, the traps of the dunya, the ropes of the dunya. Allah is saying in the Quran that, have you seen the one who's su'i amal? Afaman zuyyina lahu su'u amalihi fara'ahu hasana? Have you seen the one whose wrong actions, their evil actions are made beautiful, are adorned, are gift wrapped? And then fara'ahu hasana, and they begin to view those actions as beautiful. This is called self-deception. We delude ourselves, we deceive ourselves. We view the ghayr sunnat as beautiful. It's all gift wrapped for us, right? Fashion, culture, society, media, so many forces to take our hearts away from the beauty and the lutf of our deen. So if only we could somehow just flip our life. Just flip. Even if we couldn't increase in our passion, the passion with which we sin, even if we could just love Allah Ta'ala with that same passion. This is what I mean, flip. The passion with which we sin, if we can have that same passion, we could use that to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you could have that same talab, that desire, the raghbat that we feel for the unlawful lutf and lazzat of this world, only if you could have that same amount, not even more, but the same amount of talab and raghbat, desire, inclination, and this lutf and lazzat of ibadah, this lazzat of iman, this lazzat of taqwa, if you could make this slip, we could make this flip, right? We could become the awliya of this ummah. We could become the beloveds of Allah Ta'ala, the friends of Allah, the awliya of this ummah. It's not that we are khushk, we are dry from the inside. No, mashallah, we have a lot of passion. We have that passion. We have that fire inside of us. We have that yearning. We have that desire. But we have placed all of those feelings on the path of dunya, on the path of fisk, on the path of sin. So we have to take that passion, that yearning, that desire, that lutf, and somehow yank it from that. And we have to put it back on this path of ishq of Allah, the muhabbat of Allah. And what is going to enable us to make this flip? How should we flip? How to flip? The one thing that will enable us to make this flip is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah ta'ala. When Allah says in Quran, Ar-Rahman, fas'al bihi khabira. Fas'al bihi khabira. Allah has rahmat. There's no single one of us who's outside the mercy of Allah ta'ala. And this is not due to any greatness on our part, but due to the greatness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in Quran, Wa rahmati wasiyat kulla shay. Then know that my rahmat, my mercy, Allah ta'ala makes it very personal. Rahmati, my mercy, it encompasses, reaches each and every single thing. And me and you, we are at least a shay, we are a thing. Maybe we are not mu'min, maybe we are not muttaqi, we are not truly hakiki mu'min, but we are a shay, we are included in something. So we are also included in this ayat. Allah is saying, my rahmat encompasses each and every single thing. And Allah Ta'ala has given us, Allah is teaching us with these two names of His mercy. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Two names. We did these names last year. two names for Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, Rahman and Rahim. Two names for Allah Ta'ala's maghfirat, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Ghaffar. This means that Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is ghalib. This is a ghalib sifat of Allah. Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He is the possessor of all mercy, the epitome of all mercy, Ar-Rahman. He's mercy incarnate. And then Allah Ta'ala makes it clear that he's not just Ar-Rahman, he's also Ar-Rahim. He's all merciful, he's mercy giving. You can't capture this in benevolent or compassion. That can't be captured here. And this is that mercy which is for us, that rahmat is for us. And we, that rahmat is there to benefit us. We are here to make ourselves the magnets for that mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Every single ayat, watch this sentence, every single ayat of the Quran, every single hadith, every single sunnah, when we adorn ourselves with these things, we become magnets that attract this mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Every ayat, when we become embodiments of that ayah, we live that ayah, we practice that ayah, we become magnet that attracts this mercy of Allah. It's Allah Ta'ala's mercy. And we have to believe that, Ya Allah, you are so Rahman. Allah, we ask you that you, out of your rahmah, you accept this, Allah. You accept our intention. It's so beautiful that we, Allah Ta'ala just wants us to try. We just have to try. We just have to make that effort. We have to make that irada, desire for Allah. We have always been the murad of Allah. Allah always has irada for us. Allah Ta'ala wants us for all of eternity. Allah has made us his murad. We just have to spend a small period of this life as Allah's murid, having irada for Allah. We have always been Allah's mahbub. He wants us to be his mahbub for all of eternity. We just have to spend small moments of this life, few years, trying to become his muhib, his lover. So the beginning of this journey is that we must become people of irada, people of desire. We must at least, you know, spark, ignite that flame of desire in our heart to become pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That flame of desire that we wish to turn to Allah ta'ala. At least try. And if we fail, right, if we fall, if we slip, we try again. Right? That's what this life is. You try, you will fall, you try again. Then you will fail, you try again. Then you will slip, then you try again. We keep trying again. And we spend this entire life trying. And I'll just end with you with a statement of my own Sheikh, which he has taught, which I'll first explain in Urdu. And then I'm going to translate this into English as well. He says that, ki agar koi insaan apni puri zindagi Allah Ta'ala ka dost banne ki koshish karta hai. Allah ka dost nahi ban sakta, nahi ban pata, taqwa nahi hasil kar pata, vilayat nahi hasil kar sakta, nahi kar pata. Lekin usne puri zindagi Allah Ta'ala ka dost banne ki koshish mein laga di. Ke Allah, main aapka dost banna chahta hoon, aur mera dost banne ka irada hai. Allah Ta'ala ki dost banne ka talab mein guzar di puri zindagi. To Allah Ta'ala ki rahmat se baid hai ki qiyamat ke din Allah Ta'ala aise bande ko apne dushmanon ke saath khada farma denge. Yani puri zindagi agar dost banne ke liye laga di, koshish karta raha, Allah Ta'ala ki rahmat kabhi us shakhs ko dushmanon ki fehrist mein khada nahi farmayenge. Now English. That person who spends their entire life yearning, wishing, striving to be the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to make themselves pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to get this lutf of this intimacy and closeness with Allah, trying their entire life on this path, and they slip on this path, then they fall on this path, then they pick themselves up again. They immediately make istighfar and tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. Then again they might sin, and again they pick themselves back up and make istighfar and tawbah. And they continue. Even if they sin again, they make tawbah again. And never do they sin except that they follow it with repentance. Never do they fall except that they raise themselves up again. Never are they disconnected from Allah other than they become reconnected with Allah. Never do they lose themselves in the passion for this dunya except that once again they try to reignite their hearts with the passion of Allah. And in all of their life, they're trying, they're trying, they're trying, not necessarily achieving, not necessarily accomplishing, not necessarily attaining the goal, not necessarily succeeding in reaching the destination. They simply spend their entire life wanting to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it is beyond the mercy and the karam of Allah that Allah is arhamur rahimin, that Allah will make such a person stand among his enemies on the day of Qiyamah. No way. No way. This will never happen. Impossible. Allah Ta'ala, he would view that person who always wanted to be his friend, who always yearned to be his friend, and truly, sincerely was striving to be his friend, Allah will consider him to be his friend on the day of Qiyamah. Like Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi, he said that I love the people of righteousness. I love the people who are true and pious, even though I'm not one of them. But I have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that simply my desire to be like the righteous and the pious, my love for the righteous and the pious, the wish to have made myself among the righteous and the pious, that based on that, I have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will also raise me on the day of Qiyamah among the righteous and the pious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us on this path of ishq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us up on the day of Qiyamah among the salihin, among the muttaqin, in a state that Allah ta'ala is razi with us and we are razi with him, in a state that Allah ta'ala is smiling at us and we are smiling at him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us and grant us all the lazzat of the deen that Allah ta'ala has kept in this deen of Islam. And may Allah ta'ala also grant us all the lazzat, starting from qabr till hashr, till jannah, till finally the didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the kalam, listening to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala accept these du'as, intentions, irada from all of us. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحان ربي العلى الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Allahumma inna nas'aluka imanan kamilan wa yaqinan sadiqan wa rizqan wasi'an wa qalban khashi'an wa lisanan zakiran wa rizqan halalan tayyiban wa tubatan qabla al-maut wa rahatan inda al-maut wa maghfiratan wa rahmatan ba'da al-maut wa al-'afwa inda al-hisab wa al-fawza bil-jannah wa an-najata min an-nar bi rahmatika ya aziz ya ghaffar رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة الفردوس بغير حساب اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة الفردوس بغير حساب اللهم إنا نسألك الشوق إلى لقائك ولذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.